Hello everybody, this is Isaac, and you are listening to the Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture Podcast. Today, as usual, we will be going through many of the ideas, themes, and symbolism that have been served up to us by the media. I've got a lot of topics here to go through. We're going to try to jam through this. Some of the topics I'm going to try to get through today, we're going to talk about Star Wars and this big Lando conspiracy about him becoming pansexual, which lends itself to Childish Gambino and an analysis of This Is America. We're going to talk about some celebrities that died, Katy Perry and her bullshit, talking about free speech under attack, Venom, David Beckham, celebrities galore. I got lots of stuff on here, so I'm going to try to keep moving along. I recently, and here's the beginning of the show, okay? This is the little intro part. I'm going to do a little housekeeping generally. I actually published a recent episode and was looking through the comments on YouTube, which is always a big no-no. Never go into the comments section of YouTube. Unless you really do want to go kill yourself, because that's what they'll advise you to do. But I think it's funny, so actually, every now and then I do go through the comments, and I try to respond to some of the people that do comment to me. I think YouTube is probably the worst way to try to get a hold of me. But I go through the comments, and someone on there was, I don't know, telling me to go kill myself because of whatever. I talked too much at the beginning. I talked too much about the reviews, that's what it was. But I like doing that. I like the reviews. I like reading your review of my show and my book, okay? It's the little bit of joy I've got left. So, I like to share that with you. And I'm sorry if that offended that one person out there. But you know how it is. They say the takes like 10 compliments to match one negative comment. So, I, like most people, obsess over the one negative comment. I don't know why I do this. So, I sent a survey out. I sent it to everybody on the email list, all the social media plugs, whatever. And it turns out that I am still vectoring in the right direction here. Sounds like everyone's okay with the intro talk in general. And then I actually got a funny comment. Was it on YouTube or the survey? Anyway, it don't matter. And someone said, "Say hello to the neighborhood dogs," on the, you know, referring to my dogs that bark on the podcast. Now, what usually happens? I'm going to give you a little insight on how the sausage is made here. I've got a couple of annoying little chihuahuas, and sometimes they bark, but that's usually not them that you hear. It's usually not the chihuahuas. What it is I've got this neighbor. I gotta whisper because I got my window open right now. And this neighbor has got these big ass, poodle dogs. And they're the funniest dogs. But they're on the electronic fence with like the collars or whatever. And they're always outside running around like trying to protect the fort. And they're always barking at people. You hear birds? There's birds right now. You can say hello to the neighborhood birds. But anyways, that's the neighbor's dog. And I'm like always sweating for some reason when I'm doing this show. So I always have the window open. Doesn't matter if it's wintertime or not. Thus, you get to hear the dogs. I'll put you know what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to get a picture of them. And I'm going to put it on my Instagram feed just for you. Just so you can link the barking to the dogs. Okay, well, I already violated myself. I was going to give myself like 2 minutes to get through the intro. Let's move it along, folks. Okay, let's talk about Lando Calrissian. And I hope I'm saying that last name right. Lando is the black dude from Star Wars, okay? And I think Boba Fett might be black too, right? If I'm not mistaken. Or Jango Fett? I don't know. Anyways, from the original trilogy, Lando was always the slick-talking dude, good with the ladies, played by Billy Dee Williams. And for those of you who maybe you're too young to remember, Billy Dee used to be on these awesome liquor commercials they had back in the 80s for Colt 45. And I always remembered that. I don't know why. And he always says, Colt 45 works every time. And that's what I don't know. I don't think of Lando when I see Billy Dee. I think of Colt 45 because I've drank some malt liquor in my day, not to brag. But yeah, Lando. So anyway, so the new Star Wars movie. What are they coming out with this year? It's something about Han Solo. Solo, the Star Wars story. And that's coming out here real soon, actually, at the end of May 2018. And in it, we're going to apparently witness the background to Han Solo's backstory. And the actor, Donald Glover, plays the role of Lando. And the latest fury is that it turns out in this film, they are portraying Lando as what they call a pansexual. Now, what this means is Lando has no sexual preference. Lando is attracted to people more than genders, okay? Or sexes or whatever. I don't know. I don't know if I'm saying that right. But you know what I'm saying? You know, Lando would have sexual relations with men, women, gay, lesbian, trans, whatever. Okay, that's what that means, pansexual. Not to be confused with pangender, pandrogynous. That's when you don't identify with one gender. And what, you know, I know typically the conspiracy community is pretty intolerant of the gay community, right? You seem to get that with, you know, most of them. Because they, for whatever reason lately, they seem to be aligned to the right wing. Which I don't get, but whatever. Seems to be the way it's going, or at least the way they want to portray it. So here is where I should typically be, you know, inserting my rant about the gays turning the freaking frogs gay, as Alex Jones would say. But like, you know, I'm on the fence about it. Like, I get what they're saying. I get that when you watch entertainment, there seems to be this agenda to show all of the sexual identities and genders in the films and TV shows nowadays. Like, it's at a much higher percentage on TV than it is in real life. And I've talked to many straight white men, and I hear this complaint often about how, you know, they say they watch these shows and they're like, oh, half the people are freaking gay and I don't know any gay people. And like, well, I get that. I mean, like, they're not wrong. If you look up the percentages, I was reading up on this last night a little bit. The percentage of people in America, at least, that, I mean, because this is America, don't get you slipping now. The percentage of people in America that are gay identify anywhere from like 2 to maybe even 7%. It depends on which study. Apparently, this is a real controversial thing, right? Because whatever, there's this whole stigma and whatever, I don't know. There's this problem with it. So anyways, they're guesstimating a little bit. It's anywhere between 2 and 7%, which is pretty low. But I got to think, I mean, isn't this kind of close to the percentage that you do see on TV shows? I mean, if I watch, I can't think of a good example. I'm not good with sitcoms or TV shows generally. You know, if I watch a show, let's say Roseanne, because she recently rebooted her show, and she's also near and dear to the hearts of many in the conspiracy community, even though she does align with Donald Trump. So it's a weird sort of thing going on. She talks about MKUltra stuff all the time. Anyways, there is a character on her show, and I admit I have not seen it. I'm not big into sitcoms, nor am I a fan of Roseanne's show. Not that I have a problem with Roseanne, but whatever. And there's a character on the show named Mark, who apparently dresses like a girl. I guess he's a young boy, okay? And this, of course, is the topic of conversation on Twitter when it came out. So, I mean, if there is, I don't know, 10 major characters on Roseanne that you see on a recurring basis, Mark is most likely, you know, one of them, obviously. So that's 10% of the characters are not gay, because he's not identified as gay from what I'm reading, and he's not identifying as trans. He's got a gender sort of fluidity that is out of the norm, okay? Like, I'd say he fits into the LGBTQ column. Alright? So that's 10% of the characters on the show, we'll say, are outside of the hetero cisgender stuff. That's definitely above the average, according to the percentages. So, like, the people that get offended by this stuff, they're not wrong when they say, like, it's a way higher percentage on depicted than it is in reality. Same with the pansexual stuff, like Lando. I mean, if Lando's pansexual now on Star Wars, did I say that yet? Anyway, that's the point why I'm talking about Lando. He's pansexual in the new Han Solo film. That's the purpose of this rant here. And people are losing their minds because they live in the Star Wars universe in their minds. Okay, this is the topic of conversation I had in my book, The Star Wars Conspiracy. If you haven't read that yet, it's a shorter read than most of my books, maybe 100 pages. But the idea is that Star Wars is a big operation in culture creation. They created this reality. They created this fascination by connecting into the sort of archetypes of the past, and so on. George Lucas was very much in touch with a lot of these ideas that I'm talking about. When we talk about global consciousness stuff, Helena Blavatsky, Alice Bailey, Theosophy, Lucius Trust, which is part of like the UN now, all these things, it's all kind of related to this global consciousness idea. Ties into the perennial philosophy, which is, a Huxley thing. When you research all the Illuminati things, they all connect together. You trace it back to the agendas and the themes of hundreds of years ago. And Star Wars is the same thing with the Force. The Force, this religion in the Star Wars, is a godless religion where we're all connected to this global consciousness that many can tap into, sort of like the law of attraction ideas. So anyway, so Star Wars is this whole thing, and then Disney buys it out for $4 billion, and they're going to come out with 1,000 movies over the next 10 years that will drive the entire Star Wars fan base into, you know, oblivion. I mean, there's going to be a point where people are not that interested anymore. I feel like they're already going to hit it. I mean, one movie a year, two movies a year is where they're at almost. It's a lot. I haven't been able to keep up either. I haven't even seen the last Star Wars yet. Doubtful I'll see the Han Solo film. Anyways, so where were we now? Okay, so like the conspiracy community in general seems to be more aligned to the right wing. I don't identify like that. A lot of them complain about the gay people and the characters in these shows. They're not entirely wrong. It is overrepresented if we wanted to really, you know, slice this down to how accurate of a portrayal is it. But I don't know. With me, I get their point where they're saying, look, they're trying to condition the masses to accept this kind of thing. So they're not wrong. But the question is it good or bad? Is that a bad thing? Is that a bad thing for people who maybe typically in the past have been not tolerant of these sort of people that lie outside the norms? Is it bad for them to relate to a character that's in those norms so that when they do meet someone like that in real life, they're not so freaked out or whatever? I don't know. It's a conversation I feel like we need to have, because entertainment is what determines our reality, it seems. And they're moving ahead. They're trying to evolve the masses, okay? Like, that's happening. I don't disagree with that. But maybe they're trying to evolve them too fast, because now it seems like a lot of people are still trying to wrap their heads around some of these things, and they're thinking, holy crap, I just got my head wrapped around gay people and gay marriage. Now I got all these other genders and sexes to deal with, and you know, it's like they're blowing their minds a little too much. And I don't know, maybe it's going to work. maybe it's going to work. Maybe they're going to get people to be more accepting of others, because that's the end game, okay? Is they want us to be accepting of one another, because in the end, they want to push transhumanism. And that's the idea that we will all eventually turn into robots and then eventually go into the digital matrix, upload our souls digitally into this sort of global consciousness field, which they'll call the, you know, new internet or whatever they call it. So to recapture what I'm trying to say here, Lando is Pando, and I don't know if that's wrong. It destroyed the Star Wars universe for many fans because Lando was always the slick talking dude that was, you know, hitting on the women. Now he's hitting on Han Solo. But it's part of an agenda, sure. Is that agenda wrong? That's the question. And we need to have these debates, these sort of, we need to give people a place to voice their opinions about this. I mean, they have to do it in a respectful manner, like, but they also need a place to voice it, because if you start dragging people down this path, they start getting resentful about it. And then they dig in their heels deeper, and then you got, like, the crazy shit that happened in Charlottesville where, I don't know, that dude drove his car down and hit all them liberals that were out there screaming. So, that brings us to the idea of Donald Glover being the instrument to deliver the culture-changing character of Lando. He is also a rapper by the name of Childish Gambino, and he released that video song for the song This Is America. I'm sure you've heard it. I'm sure you've seen it. And I wrote up an analysis on that because it was very intriguing to me that the that this song took off. This immediately, he released a video, and immediately every single news outlet had an opinion and an analysis and a breakdown of the symbolism inside the video. And they're saying, oh, well, you know, here you see him standing like the Jim Crow depictions of the past. And he's dancing with the South African Guara Guara dancing. And, you know, it's a commentary on Black America and entertainment distracting us while there's chaos in the background in their lives. Okay, that's true. But like I talked about in my recent show about Kanye West, don't you think the timing is extremely suspect that he goes on Saturday Night Live the same night the video drops, and then the next night he's at the Met Gala wearing the Illuminati gold triangle and all-seeing eye on his jacket? And the media does not pick up on these videos that quick. I'm sorry they don't. I've been doing this for years. This is exactly what I do. I watch music videos and do a symbolism analysis. I've done it for quite literally hundreds and hundreds of videos. So when he released this video and immediately they had all these expertise analysis of it, it's obviously coordinated. Obviously. I mean, it couldn't be more obvious. Google it. You'll look up... don't use Google. I hate Google. Use a freaking Bing or whatever. I don't know. But you look it up and you'll see like CNN and Fox News. I don't know about Fox News. Huffington Post. They all had these breakdowns about the genius of Childish Gambino's video. And they even tied it into Get Out, the film, which has MKUltra stuff on it, which I found very interesting, obviously, because I've got that whole analysis of Get Out. But like, it's funny to me because Kanye West had the Yeezus album 5 years ago, and he did the same thing with New Slaves and Black Skinhead. In fact, he even went on SNL and performed them, and he was actually in a more eloquent manner discussing the problems of how, the powers that be get black culture to, you know, sell drugs, privatize prison system set up for luring people in poverty to pursue material things so that they can put them in prison and control them forever. Okay. I mean, sure, people talked about it, but like, not like this. This was something different. when he releases video, every channel on the planet for Gambino had a whole discussion about this, as if this was like some particularly groundbreaking thing that he did. And, you know, I don't know. I don't get it. Like, it's fine. Like, I get what they're saying is like, yeah, that's what this video is showing us. But they wanted to spark this big discussion about it just to focus attention on it. And it worked. Because I'm not a big Gambino fan, so I didn't even know about it until he was on SNL. And I didn't think, you know, the SNL performance was pretty innocuous. There wasn't much to see there. It wasn't like the video at all. I mean, similar meaning, like they had dancing on it, but it wasn't. Didn't have like the gore and the violence of it. So I don't know. I mean, it's a cool video. It's a cool song. Don't get me wrong. But like, what I'm saying is Gambino is in the Illuminati confirmed. I don't know. Dude's sus, in my opinion. Good music, whatever, I guess. That Redbone song's pretty good too, I guess. Hey, did you hear some people died? Yeah, Margot Kidder. Lois Lane. She died on Mother's Day, 2018, May 13th. And the reason why that is worth talking about is because she seemed to have gone through something traumatic in her lifetime that caused her to have this very public breakdown. We see these breakdowns often. Britney Spears, Kanye West, obviously. And even Judy Garland had these sort of weird problems that stemmed from Hollywood. Avicii also. The family made some kind of statement about how the industry took him down. I mean, he committed suicide, apparently, allegedly. So Margot Kidder was exposed to the same toxic cesspool that these other people have been exposed to. And the reason why she was on my radar is because in Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, the greatest book on conspiracy and hip-hop ever written, I talked about Ariana Grande. Talked about Ariana Grande in a rap book, okay, folks? That's what the state of rap music has come to these days. So, anyways, Ariana Grande had this video where she was like, it was very disturbing. It's on YouTube somewhere. And it shows her, like, trying to pull her teeth out. Obviously, she's not really trying it, I guess. I hope not. And that's what ties her into Margot Kidder, because Margot's breakdown, they found her out in the woods with teeth pulled out. And, like, depending on what you read, she either pulled them out or someone knocked them out when they were trying to rape her. Because she was homeless at the time. And, you know, she had this, like, I guess, like, some kind of panic attack or manic disorder. She had mental problems, okay? So that's what makes me think, well, maybe it's not always Illuminati. Sometimes that happens. And to finish my thought on Lando being Pando, they show these people in the films and stuff because it's real. Like, these people are real. There's really LGBTQ people in the world, okay? So, like, it just makes for more interesting characters. You can't have a homogenous cast of characters. Like, sometimes you gotta mix it up. So anyway, so Kidder, she suffered from some mental problems. But in an article about it, I found that she was obsessed with the CIA trying to kill her. Now, is that so far-fetched? When we see people like Tupac, Martin Luther King, leaders of the Black Panthers, they were all taken out through FBI MKUltra programs. Well, maybe, allegedly. I'm not going to say that, but it's very possible, right? Especially when you look at Martin Luther King, like how there was a civil case in the 90s where the court, in fact, found the government guilty of murder. I'm oversimplifying it, but yeah, look it up. You'll see that in fact there was enough evidence to support the idea that there was like a staged assassination of some sort. And these celebrities, they pay this price for their role in the public eye. They're put up on a pedestal. They become sort of deified by America. But the price to pay for that seems to be pretty steep. Dave Chappelle talked about this. Like, he had his public breakdown. And in it, he talks about the idea of we need to embrace some flawed characters, because there's people in entertainment that get exposed to whatever the heck's going on. You know, blood sacrifice rituals, child abuse, I don't know. All of it, actually, I'm sure. If you know, look at the Bohemian Grove stuff, it's all of it. And Margot Kidder, I'm alleging, I'm assuming, I'm thinking, was exposed to something like that. Sort of like Judy Garland. She also had some kind of weird breakdown too. But these actors and these actresses, you know, it's a high percentage of them that kind of go nuts. I mean, disproportionate to regular folks. There's also a guy named Adam Parfrey that died. If you're into the more sort of underground occult stuff, he was a journalist, I guess. I'm not real familiar with his work. He just happened to come up because I sort of run in these circles of research on these topics. But he died. That's like a big to-do in that world. If, you know, no Illuminati confirmed on that. Sorry, I don't have anything on that. Katy Perry. She's buddying up to Pope Francis now, which I found extremely curious, because she's trying to buy the house next to the La Bianca's. If you're familiar with the Manson stuff, it's a very interesting idea here. I talked about it in the past, so I'm not going to go too deep on it. But to give you a background primer on this, Katy Perry was looking to buy a house in LA, and the address that it's at is right next to the La Bianca house of Rosemary and Lino La Bianca. They were the second house that the Manson family went to and murdered the people in a very horrific public ritual. Now, some say that Manson was actually, he went next door first. He was looking for a party there in the past, and he got confused on what house to go to. Some people claim the La Biancas were tied into some kind of drug conspiracy that is why Manson's family was out there trying to do hits for the mafia. I mean, there's all kinds of theories about what's going on. But one thing is for sure, Manson talked about how when they went to L.A., his quote-unquote family, they were exposed to something very evil when they were at this place called the Spiral Staircase. And it was a place where a lot of the sort of underground cultures there would meet up, and they would do all kinds of, you know, weird stuff, rituals and things. There was a witch there. That's how they went there, because of a witch that he had met in San Francisco, I believe. I'm digging deep into the recesses of my brain for this, but they went down there. They were at the Spiral Staircase. He said in his book, I think it's called Manson in His Own Words, that was when his family was taken over by evil, because they didn't start out murdering people. They were your typical hippie commune kind of environment. So the idea that there's areas where vortexes of energy can happen and evil can happen, that's definitely a thing. So Katy Perry trying to buy this place that was actually a nun convent in LA, and the nuns sued her. They tried to block it because they didn't want her to buy it. The nuns had moved out. Okay, it was a convent. They moved out. It was up for sale. Katy Perry says, I want to buy it. Nuns say, no, you can't buy it because you're a witch, basically. And there's this big battle with the Catholic Church she's been having. And I find it interesting that Pope Francis invited her to speak at the Vatican conference. It's called the, let me find it for you. It's just called the Vatican Conference, okay? And it's curious because they have other people that were on the guest list speaking, including Dr. Oz, and I think he's a Muslim, isn't he? What's he doing there? Anyways, Katy Perry was there, and she was giving a speech about transcendental meditation. Isn't that weird? I mean, this was stuff that the church was rallying against not even 40, 50 years ago. And now they've got Katy Perry on there, a supposed witch that the nuns were trying to battle with. And now she's promoting transcendental meditation. Now, all this stuff takes you back to the Maharishi, and you know, I think that the Beatles helped popularize TM. We'll call it TM. And I think it's very curious how mainstream it's gotten. Just like yoga, happens everywhere, but the original purposes and intents of these things were very non-Christian. Okay. So, like, if we're going to claim that we're a Christian country here, we need to be a little more real with ourselves. And look, I'm okay with it. Okay, I do mindful meditation. Transcendental apparently is another level of meditation that helps deal with more anxieties. And I suffer from anxiety and stress and depression and all that stuff too. So I get it. Like, that's the weird. Can I get personal with you a little bit here? Let's get real close. No, but the ideas that I've been researching on the occult, they sort of are at odds with Christianity, okay? And what's confusing to me, what I can't reconcile, is that the practices, they're very similar, okay? So like in the Christian church, they tell us to pray. If we have anxieties or something, they say, okay, pray for it. But in, like, I'm going to say the occult, but any, we'll just say non-Christian, the non-Christian practices, they'll do meditation techniques. And both of them are kind of doing similar things. It's using the mind to get in touch with the physiological responses of the body, to identify what's going on, and to work through it. Now, I think it boils down to intent. Because if I'm meditating to try to calm myself down, that's one thing. If I'm meditating and doing yoga to make contact with entities from another dimension, that's another thing. But they work, okay? And that's what the problem I have. That's my sort of paradox is, like, I mean, this is going to sound sacrilegious a little bit, but, like, sometimes praying doesn't make the pain go away. I mean, God's busy, right? I know, I'm just kidding. Like, God's omnipotent. Omnipotent? And sometimes I feel like you got to take matters into your own hands and use the tools that you're given as a human being, because there is a real heavy spiritual component to all of this. Like, these woo-woo New Agers, like, they're not entirely wrong. There is a heavy spiritual component to this, a mystical sort of way about our world. And I think that in America, we get confused by all this materialism. And in general, you would think, oh, you just shoot the prayer out in space and it'll get solved. But, like, no, I think we have to take it in our own hands to, like, try to work through things a little bit harder and try to understand the purpose of this world and you know, the hidden realities or whatever. So to me, like, I get that these practices help. I just think it's curious that the church is changing its stance on this so hard. And this Pope Francis, I watched the interview with him on 60 Minutes. He seems like a nice guy, right? But I think that he is the front man to make, you know, soften up the image of the Catholic Church a little bit. Because they have all that, like, hidden pedophilia. And I'm not a Catholic, but I'm Orthodox, which is pretty different. But, like, they had all that pedophilia they were covering up. I mean, that's, like, straight evil. And so I think this is, this guy has been put in there to sort of soften their image up and get people back into the fold. Like, oh, come on, buddy. It's all right. Like, they're not so bad. And I don't know if they're bad or not. Look, I'm not trying to condemn the Catholic Church, but, like, I do condemn the covering up of the child abuse. I mean, good God, man. What a evil thing. I mean, I know it's very brave of me to say, so you can stop clapping now, but yeah, I stand up against sexually abusing kids. That's the kind of guy I am. But anyways, Katy Perry was at this conference talking about transcendental meditation. She's such a stooge. I mean, give me a break. And then the next weekend, she's at the Met Gala dressed up as Lucifer with the angel wings. Damn it, man. Ah! That's the kind of shit that makes me want to go Alex Jones. I mean, it's insanity. What is going on? If you haven't seen my post about Met Gala, you got to check it out. Because the Met Gala, which is, it's basically a fashion ball for douchebag celebrities. They had a thing, it was named Heavenly Bodies, Fashion and the Catholic Imagination. Because it was based off of Catholic symbolism and different, whatever, I don't know, designers, Dolce, Gabbana, Versace, and they all donated things that were themed around Catholic religion. And Katy Perry was wearing these wings of the fallen angel of Lucifer. I mean, that's exactly who she was emulating. They're using Christian religious symbols. So when she dresses up as the Lucifer, the fallen angel, and previously the past year she dressed up as the Scarlet Woman from Aleister Crowley's belief system. They were talking about channeling in this goddess entity, the Scarlet Woman. And we'll talk about this in a future episode here, because I'm doing a lot of research on Jack Parsons right now, because he's got a TV series coming out, and I've talked about him many times in the past, including in The Dark Path, because he did the Babylon working rituals with L. Ron Hubbard, and they were trying to bring about the Scarlet Woman to create the Moon Child and change reality, blah, blah, blah. So she played the Scarlet Woman last year at the Met Gala, and this year she's playing Lucifer. And then she's giving speeches at the Vatican on how to transcendental meditate. Rihanna was also at the Met Gala, dressed up as the Pope, sexy Pope. Okay. And, you know, she's wearing the fish head. If you've ever seen I think it's called a mitre, but she's wearing a fish head, which supposedly links into the fish gods of the Babylonian era. David Icke talked about this a bunch. Katy Perry also was depicted with a fish head at her concerts for Prismatic. These were the concerts that they flashed a shot of her in the background that I caught where she's saying help. And it looks terrifying, but it was real quick. It was like 1 second. And don't ask me why I watched the Prismatic concert video. I don't know why I did that. I did that for you. No, I like Katy Perry's music. Well, I'm the worst. I'm the worst conspiracy theorist. Don't look to me. I'm hypocritical, okay? I'm sorry. I like this nonsense that I'm exposing. Same with Rihanna. I love Rihanna's music. I got every album. Except for Auntie. That sucked, right? We all agree Auntie sucked. She was dressed up as the Scarlet Woman via Star of Ishtar. And she was dressed up as the Semiramis Goddess in, was it V Magazine? I don't know, some magazine shoot she did. I mean, they show these celebrities dressed up as goddesses and entities, and there's a reason for it. And at that Met Gala, just to bring things back around, was where Childish Gambino, a.k.a. Donald Glover, was wearing his Illuminati jacket. And then Jared Leto was wearing a crown of thorns like he's Jesus Christ, which is priceless, really. Another thing about the Met Gala I found, there's a makeup artist named Fiona Stiles. She confirmed the occult connections because, I'm going to find the quote for you. She said, well, the article says, there was perhaps no one better prepared to translate Monday night's Met Gala theme, Heavenly Bodies, Fashion, and the Catholic Imagination, onto the red carpet than celebrity makeup artist Fiona Stiles. 6 months ago, the day the exhibition was announced, her brain immediately went to the occult and the dark arts. Stiles went to art school where she studied art history, giving her a unique perspective and interest in the subject, and she's been ruminating on the theme since then. Quote, I knew there would be a lot of angelic Renaissance beauty, and lilies always really... Oh, shit, sorry, guys. And lilies always really willing to go for it, she recalls. I texted her, I'm thinking about the dark arts, and she's like, awesome, I'm on board. it screwed me up because they spelled willing wrong. Anyways, so the Met Gala just showed that the agenda in the Illuminati for deification of celebrities continues, because they want us to, they want to deify the celebrities so that we worship them and follow them, and we're following them off a cliff, basically. And it kills me because these celebrities like Janelle Monáe and Grimes, who I'm going to try to get to today if I can, they embrace the same symbols and messages that we've seen so many times in the past. They just do it again. They think that they're these brave, unique people. And it's like, no, I've seen this before. Okay. We see it a million times. There's nothing original about this. I want to talk about how they, the powers that be, the Illuminati, are seeking to destroy free speech. They're going to bring us all down, the conspiracy community, that is. A friend on Patreon sent a article link for Slate.com. It says streaming services have a conspiracy theory problem. And basically, they're talking about how Netflix and Amazon Prime have these quote-unquote terrible documentaries about, you know, anti-vaccine stuff, all these conspiracy theory topics, and how they need to find a way to get rid of them. And while that is not necessarily banning free speech, it's not quite the same thing. I mean, these are for-profit companies. I'm sure all they care about is making money. So, like, if people are watching those videos, they're not taking them down, okay? But what they're trying to do, the media, they're priming the pump. They're trying to make a culture of intolerance towards conspiracy talk. They're trying... It's kind of like... I don't know. Should I use race? Sexual identities? What do you want to talk about? Whatever the topic it is. If there's someone who has an unpopular opinion, let's say the skinheads or whatever, they don't want to give them a platform to talk. They want people to be repulsed by them, which I'm not saying I support the skinheads. It is repulsive. What I'm just saying is they want to create an environment where people are so turned off that if there's like a KKK rally downtown, you're not going to want to go just, well, let me hear them out. Let me hear what they got to say, okay? And look, like I said before, I don't know. Is that wrong? They allow them to have the free speech platform. That's good. I'm all for the free speech thing, but they want to make people... They want to steer the consciousness towards their goals, okay? And sometimes those goals are okay. Sometimes they're not. Just depends, right? It's all intention. Speaking of which, I don't know if I told you this story, but my dad one time, my father passed away. If you haven't heard all this stuff before, he actually tackled a KKK guy once at a parade. He was doing some kind of law enforcement job. He had multiple law enforcement jobs, and he was supposed to kind of like march with the KKK guys, not with him. That sounds bad. March alongside them to like prevent scuffles, because, you know, people, they hate them, right? So like throwing stuff at them, they're trying to start fights with these Klansmen or whatever. And I wish I could ask him. I don't remember now that I'm talking about it. Something happened, and my dad he tackled this KKK guy that was in the parade, and they rolled around in poison ivy, and he was like jacked up for like days, you know. Anyways, I don't know why I shared that. I thought that was interesting. I thought we could bond on that, because I just want to prove to you that I don't like KKK people. Okay, I'm with you. But anyways, the point of this topic is they are gonna take away the free speech for the masses. They're gonna do it in a way that is palatable. Okay. They're trying to set up that argument that, well, because they're not going to outright ban it. They're not going to say you'll get thrown in prison if you talk about conspiracy topics. I don't know that will ever happen. I hope it doesn't, obviously, but they will continue their assault on the people that listen to this kind of stuff because they don't want you to hear it. They just don't. They want you to be like the masses, be like the sheep who want to be told what to think and what to believe, and they want to be told what's reality. And I couldn't disagree with that more. People need to have an open mind to hear things and understand what's going on. And we're not, the conspiracy community in general is not saying these appalling, disgusting things that are like from unevolved points of view, like the KKK. It's totally different, but they're going to try to make it sound like it's the same thing. I said it on Twitter. The guy's worried about the Second Amendment. They're going to take away the First. It's a distraction. Weapons of mass distraction. Okay, I got a couple things I got to get through real quick. Let's do this. I've got an article on Venom. I watched the trailer for Venom, and I think it's weird that these actors they portray multiple superheroes and villains. Like, what are they gonna do one day? If, like, when they do like this big crossover film, how are they gonna handle that? Because you know you've got Bane, Tom Hardy. From Batman, he plays Venom in this new movie. Same with Ben Affleck. He was Daredevil and he sucked at that. Now he's Batman and he sucks at that too. I'm sure Ben Affleck's listening, so my apologies. So watch the Venom trailer. You'll see the black goo. The black goo takes over because that's, you know, Venom's outfit. He's like this black sort of version of Spider-Man. And the black goo is what we've seen in the Alien films, Prometheus. And there's other people that do a more eloquent job. In fact, I should try to get that dude on the show. There's a guy, Mike, I don't know how to say his last name, sorry, Mike. But he talks about the black goo often. And that seems to be part of the agenda. You see it all the time. You also see the Saturnian influences when they've got the hexagon. You see the bathtub thing where he goes into the bathtub. Again, the idea of crossing over into another dimension. You see the mark of the beast on the motorcycle, the X and the O, communicating with the abyss. I'm burning through these quick, but you can go to IlluminatiWatcher.com and find the Venom Illuminati symbolism of the anti-hero article. It should be published not too long ago, so sometime in April, May 2018. The theme of evolution is important in the film because you can see, and I put the subtitles on the screen capture, it says, Carlton Drake believes that the union between human and symbiote is the key to our evolution. And again, this is like what we saw in Deadpool. It's the evolution of man into something better. Something more supposedly superior. And not to mention that Eddie Brock, who's the character that it turns into Venom, played by Tom Hardy, he's got the, while they're saying that, on his shirt is the Illuminati pyramid and all-seeing eye. That's also on Donald Glover's jacket at the Met Gala. Do you see it's all connected, man? Venom's poster has the all-seeing eye. In the trailer, towards the end, it says, embrace your inner anti-hero. That's what we've been talking about many, many times. The idea of the Luciferian rebel angel. It's just a theme that repeats over and over and over. David Beckham, he got some tattoos on his head. He's got a lot of tattoos, but now he's got them on his head. He's going to become a SoundCloud rapper rapping about soccer. Sorry. It took me a minute to get that open. It's a pretty good sound effect, right? We all like that. Sorry, maybe that's too much morning DJ. I don't know. You tell me. Anyway, David Beckham got a tattoo on his head of Saturn. And on it, it's curious because Saturn is the center of the galaxy. Very interesting. We all know about Saturn. That is the symbol for the other, the adversary, Lucifer, Satan, whatever you want to call it. Grimes, this is the last thing I'll talk about, and then I will let you go. someone on Instagram reached out to me and said, hey, you got to check out Grimes. And I don't know anything about her. But I listened to her. She sounds like this mix of Lady Gaga, Bjork, D'Antwoord, the chick from D'Antwoord, and Paramore. So, like, there's a good basis there. Like, I enjoy most of those artists. But she... L.A. Morgs, shout out. Big shout out. You don't want to... She slid into the DMs, as it were. And told me about Grimes. Grimes is dating Elon Musk. That's why I knew the name. I recognize the name. Because Elon Musk, obviously in the Illuminati, always talking about how artificial intelligence is going to kill us and we don't know if we're in a virtual reality already. Now, I don't know if he's Illuminati pro or minus. I mean, it could go either way. He says a lot of suspicious stuff, though, and he's obviously very, very influential and powerful. So she's dating him now. So I thought, okay, let me give it a whirl. And I watched the video and phew, mind blown. Okay. Again, IlluminatiWatcher.com. Check it out. Grimes, Illuminati symbolism of Luciferian doctrine. You'll see the all-seeing eye from her and Janelle Monáe, who I recently did that whole thing about her 50-minute long video for Dirty Computer. The Valve Silence, duality, again, ties into Star Wars ideas, good, bad, sides of the Force, mind control symbolism with when she breaks the mirror in the video. Again, there's always this connection with the mirrors. Michael Jackson and Prince used to cover theirs up. Some say that it's a portal to another dimension. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff with that, right? And what was curious was in the lyrics, the video is called Venus Fly. In the lyrics, she says, what if I pulled my teeth? Which ties her into Margot Kidder and that Ariana Grande creepy video. Right after she's breaking the mirror, symbolism of MK Ultra, she talks about pulling her teeth. An interview with her, she did for this Flesh Without Blood video that has her bathing in blood. She talks about these alter egos of hers, and one's a demon named IV, stands for four, like Roman numerals. And then she says, once you start having an audience, it's easier to write from a perspective that isn't you. Talking about the alter egos. Again, these are all symbolism that is indicative of MK Ultra mind control and traumatic sort of fracturing of the mind. And in Flesh Without Blood, what do you know? She's depicted as the fallen angel, which occurs many times in this new video. Well, I say new. I think it's actually kind of older, but new to me, Venus Fly. She's dressed up as an angel in her Kill versus Maim, the Dark Angel, Dark Wings, the Black Bird, which could tie us into chemical processes, the Nigredo, or the Awakening, the Blackening. It's symbolism that someone's about to go on their journey of alchemy and go through the different stages of the colorings, the black, the white, the yellow, the red, with the red symbolizing the phoenix, the reborn initiate. And in the video, Venus Fly, she actually takes a bite of an apple wearing her black angel outfit. Very intriguing. You really got to check it out. Check out my analysis of it first, and then go watch the video. All right, we made it. We made it through all the topics. That was a lot of stuff. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for the reviews. I know that you don't like hearing about the reviews. No, I'm just kidding. That one person doesn't like it, but they can piss off. I enjoy the reviews. I like reading them. Keep them coming. I've read the recent ones on Dark Path on Amazon, and I read the latest couple for the podcast on the iTunes page. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. You have to inflate my ego for me to keep doing this. I'm just kidding. No, but it helps, honestly. It helps to know that, like, I'm connecting with you. I want to know that. I feel like I'm just shooting out information into the universe and I don't know who's listening. But I like to hear the person on the other side and what they think of it. Tell me what you like about it, what you don't like about it. Hit me up. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Probably not Facebook. I probably won't respond. I'm not too good at that. But I do, okay? Off topic, I've got an upcoming interview. I'll be doing Well, I got a couple shows that I'm kind of lined up for, not really. So I don't want to say that yet, but suppose I'm getting interviewed by a very popular magazine about secret societies. That'll happen at the beginning of June. I don't know when it's going to publish. August, probably. Who knows? If it gets published at all. I've done a few interviews that never got published. Rolling Stone interviewed me once. That was pretty cool. Never showed up in the magazine, though. Real bummer. I did one for Complex. That one did show up in the magazine. Me and Prodigy, the rapper, the now deceased rapper that supposedly died choking on an egg, symbolic of the cosmic egg. Maybe they killed him. I don't know. He was talking about the Illuminati. He was planning a screenplay of the Illuminati too. Oh, and speaking of name dropping and trying to make myself sound cool, Sammy from Blackout Radio has an interview with Whitley Strieber. This should be publishing today, May 18th, 2018. I haven't listened to it yet. That is my plan, though. That should be really good. Because Whitley Strieber was the guy who wrote Communion, who says he's been abducted by aliens. And me and my dude, Jay Dyer, talked about him a few weeks ago, if you listened to that episode. I already forgot my sign-off. I had a sign-off that I was going to start using. So it might not be verbatim. I'll iron it out over time, though, okay? So until next time, my friends, I'll see you in another time or another dimension.